services, Lavazzi at boob1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I'm Adam, and because, like every other tantuming child in history, Bonnie, you don't actually know what you want. And here's Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
North America reporting back to high command.
Very appropriate. Is it just us two today?
No.
It's like the old days. But we're not.
No. You need to be out on a park square in Shanklin.
A park square? No, I think you'll find it was actually a road leading down to the Esplanade most of the time.
To where?
The Esplanade. The seafront.
But what town was it?
Shanklin.
Shanklin. I said that.
You said Park Square, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I said Shanklin. I have no idea where Park Square is.
Anyway, moving on. Right, we're going to be looking at episode 8 of series 9, which is the Zygon Inversion.
Is it?
Yes, it is. So, let's get on. The episode begins with a bit of a recap last week. We don't quite get the resolution of the cliffhanger straight away, which seems to be the modern trend. But we do get to see Clara in bed, and her clock initially is around the wrong way, then it flips back to being the right way, and the cameras are all a bit wonky, and she's walking through the set that we're going to have our photo taken in.
Really?
On Saturday, apparently, because this is the iconic set. Well, when I say we, I mean me and the family. Debbie, don't know if she's going to be involved in that or not. But she has bought a photo opportunity. She bought a Nick Briggs photo opportunity. Anyway, she's just going to brush her teeth, and there's something horrible on the toothbrush.
So
dread to think what that is.
How is Clara's apartment iconic? We've seen
exactly,
it.
Exactly. I don't know. I really don't know. But they think it is. I'm telling you. Looking at the, you know, the curtains.
And where are all the post-it notes? They're all missing.
Well, this is in her mind, isn't it? It's not the actual flat. This is a set in her mind. Pardon, Kirby?
Still should have put the post-it notes up there. I mean, if they put little knick-knacks and stuff, post-it notes should have been there.
Yeah, if you say so. Yeah, so she can hear the doctor calling her, sort of. And then she tries to get out of the flat, and it's a bit of that like the Big Bang where they try and get out of the TARDIS, but there's a brick wall behind the door. It's that
yes.
sort of scenario. And it reminds me a little bit of when she's stuck inside the Dalek.
No, again.
Again.
This is, how many times have we had something like this? This series.
Yes, I know. Even. I'd be very disappointed if it doesn't sort of end with her being inside that Dalek. Because I know Moffat has hinted.
And next series, she's going to walk out of a shower and...
Well, are you telling me that she's not leaving?
No, I'm saying that we'll find the whole thing was a dream.
He said that she's not coming back. She's going to be leaving in a way that she can't come back. Although he did say that about Osgood.
Right.
Yeah. So, eventually we get to the... She sees an image of the plane on the TV, and she shakes the TV, which leads to Bonnie sort of slightly misaiming the initial missile, but the second one hits. Obviously there's the mental link. Clara seems to have some influence over Bonnie's actions, which is quite interesting.
Now, I saw at least one article saying that there was some upset at showing a plane being hit by a missile.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, this was filmed a long time before the recent terrorist activity involving a plane. And the way the world is at the moment, I don't think you can ever do a bit of drama involving a plane being attacked without it actually happening in real life at some point.
Last year, they made the decision to remove the beheading from Robot of Sherwood or Robots of Sherwood, whatever it was supposed to be, at the very last minute.
I know.
I think that was
an unwise decision because car crashes happen. People, they don't remove those from, from dramas. And unless they might have done one when Princess Diana got killed, there might have been one in a drama they might have removed. But, you know, sometimes this is just life, isn't it? It's just the world the way it is at the moment. And there's going to be planes being bombed or shot down or whatever, and people being killed by terrorists. I don't think you can really remove it from drama, because drama is supposed to have some aspect of real life in it. But yeah. So the plane does get shot down, but we see a little bit later a little image of parachutes descending. How they managed to get the parachutes on that quickly, I don't really know, but Kirby will tell me.
Who knows? Mm. It's a television show.
Yeah. Yeah. So
the thing that bothers me is that what about a perfectly innocent Zygon and a perfectly innocent crew flying the plane?
Yeah. Yeah, but Bonnie was on the bad side, wasn't she? So she wasn't worried about perfectly innocent Zygons. And then she goes...
Yeah, but the doctor didn't bring along enough parachutes.
Okay. Never mind. Okay. Very good point, but we'll move on. Yeah, so Bonnie goes and picks on some innocent Zygon and does something to him that makes him start sort of slowly turning back into a Zygon rather than a very quick turning into a Zygon. So you see all these sort of lesions on him and sort of wonder.
And why does it hurt?
I don't know. Maybe it's because he's trying to suppress it.
Ah.
So he becomes a bit bad and vicious, doesn't he? Which I didn't quite understand why he was hell bent.
Not really.
Well, he sort of attacked things.
Oh, later on in the grocery store.
Yeah.
He does turn a lot of humans into the little tumbleweeds of electricity.
That's what I'm saying. That's why he got a bit vicious. And if he was a nice person, why would he do that? Because he's obviously a Zygon anyway, in human form. Anyway,
but he's an innocent Zygon.
Yes, but why is he going around killing people?
He's upset.
Okay.
He's having a bad day.
Everybody does that when they're upset, don't they? Anyway, right, so we see a scene of plane debris on a beach. Very well done, this particular beach.
You sure it's not the Lost set?
Do you mean the Lost set? it looks a bit like that, does it? I never watched Lost.
I never watched it either.
No. Well, we must watch some of it to know that. The Doctor has a Union Jack parachute. Spy Love and Music.
Where's the Queen?
Yeah, it's a shame we Oh, it's my other Mac who's supposed to be reinstalling the system software. It's just made a very alarming noise. I'm a bit worried now. It's not going to come back.
Serves it right for being a Mac.
Yeah, I don't know why it's done that. Oh, it's come back again. It's come back on again. Right. Yeah, so there, Osgood and the Doctor are on the beach. Osgood's glasses are broken, so the Doctor gives Osgood his glasses. And
don't
she quite
check
likes
my browser
them.
History.
Yes. But I say that the actual scene they created with the plane debris was pretty impressive. Although the next angle, you don't see any as they're walking off the beach. But it was quite well.
Excuse me.
Yes.
My soda went down the wrong way.
Well, careful. Yeah, so meanwhile, Clara uses her mind to make Bonnie text the Doctor. Now, did you notice as the Doctor and Osgood walked away from the beach, there was a litter bin that looked just like a TARDIS? You didn't.
I saw a blue litter bin and I never even tried to make that in my mind be even somewhat resembling a TARDIS.
Well,
no.
Well, I think it did.
Now, did you notice the reflection in the mirror?
Which mirror?
As Bonnie is walking into the unit safe house.
Oh, you walks. Yeah, go on.
She walks past the mirror and it is Clara.
Oh.
And then so she turns around, Bonnie turns around.
Oh, yes, I saw that. Was really good, yes. I saw that.
I saw it the very first time.
Yeah, I saw it the very first time. Did you not like that bit?
Was I seeing that correctly? And then, of course, we get another glimpse of the first Doctor.
Yeah, more obvious glimpse that Mary would have spotted. But did you not like that?
I loved it.
A good idea that. Yeah, sorry, the walking past in the mirror bit. That's what I was referring to. And then she goes back and has a look again and sees herself. That's been done in other dramas, but in this context, I thought that worked really, really well. What?
November, problems at AT&T. AT&T is having issues since 1:55 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Well, I hope it can keep its issues to a minimum just while we're
recording. I'm really
surprised
that Skype is working for us this morning.
Yes, well, keep it going. Bonnie gets out a laptop which shows the Osgoods, explaining about the Osgood box, or one of them.
one of them, yes.
And that makes her very cross, and she stamps on the computer. Don't quite understand why.
Yeah, when Louisa was and Kyle were watching the other night, and she starts stamping on the laptop, Louisa cries out, "Clara, what are you doing that for?" Even though she knew it wasn't Clara, but still.
Yeah. So the doctor, quite funny, goes up to some policemen and sort of starts chatting to them. And
why? What is with these policemen? I mean, they must be Zygons, obviously, but why are they so slow?
Yeah, well, they're so miserable as well. But it's quite funny, and he gradually realizes that they're not what he thinks they are, and they sort of start disappearing. And then he gets a FaceTime call from Bonnie. They sort of make haste. And we see the doctor driving, which we haven't seen for a while.
Ah, you skipped over the whole Morse code with the winking.
I did. Does that matter?
It's an important plot point.
Oh, go on then, talk about the important plot. I did like that, where she tried to cover her eye up and that. I think Bonnie was realising what was going on at this point. But carry on, yes. Speak about the bit you want to speak about.
It's just Clara was communicating with the winking through Morse code.
Yes, you just said that. So they sort of drive as quick as they can to I think it's Unit HQ, wasn't it? Oh, no, it wasn't. It was the flat area where that Zygon bloke was being a bit grumpy.
Did Osgood's personality seem a little bit different during that whole thing? I guess we may not have had any long conversations with her before, but she just didn't seem as bubbly.
I didn't notice that. Should I have done?
I don't know.
Okay, I don't know. I didn't notice. Clara. Clara then has a conversation with, or a mental conversation with Bonnie, and initially she's sort of on top in the conversation, but Bonnie sort of becomes the dominant character eventually when she realizes that she can still kill Clara. For one reason or another, I can't remember what it was now, because I only watched this once.
What?
I only watched it once, Kirby. But she holds her to ransom.
Even having this running in the background with on mute, this is like my fifth time of watching.
All right, I haven't had time. Anyway, moving on. They sort of hold the wrists, don't they, with the pulses on their wrists. And we have a lovely slow panning camera shot across Jenna Coleman's chest, which I quite enjoyed. Because she's quite a pretty girl. I don't think anybody else has noticed this, but she is very, very pretty. So Clara's attitude completely changes when she realizes that she has no choice but to divulge the location of the Osgood box and how to get to it, etc., etc. And also Bonnie realizes that she's going to have to take Clara along with her because she needs her actual body to get in. But why would Clara be, needed for that? I mean, in that particular scenario, would we know?
No, Bonnie did not need to take Clara along with her. Bonnie can get in by herself. The reason she brings Clara along is because Clara is still withholding a little bit of information and is able to keep that withheld without Bonnie killing her. And she says, you know I'm not lying to you.
Yeah, no, and then
Clara manages to sever the connection. That's why the two Zygons bring along that very silly looking pod to the Black Archive.
Okay, well, I should have just said they bring Clara along with them
I'm supposed to be pedantic.
No, that's fine. So
now, how common a name is Petronella?
I don't know. Have you Googled it?
Yes, I have. Apparently, it is a female name.
You know, it's probably the elongated version of Petra.
Possibly. Hmm. And I don't believe for a second that Basil is the doctor's first name.
Basil? It's Basil. Basil. Not Basil 40, is it? Basil. My father-in-law is called Basil.
Okay, Basil.
Why would the doctor not be called
How
Basil?
How about Basil?
Shut up. Why would the doctor not be called Basil? It's a great name. Yeah, so the doctor and Osgood pry around this shop. And eventually the suffering Zygon person kills himself.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Kate turns up with a couple of Zygon hoodies at the Black Archive. And she turns up at the shop, doesn't she?
And this is around the
time that the doctor realizes it's the real Kate.
I'm looking at some of the stuff on the shelf behind the Zygon, and it's like some really interesting snacks.
Okay, thank you for that, Kirby. That's really relevant. Bonnie gets into the Black Archive, and then the Doctor and Osgood and Kate head for the Black Archive.
I tried to explain this to Deb.
I tried to explain this to Deb. I said, "Oh my God!" She said the old catchphrase, and it's Osgood's there as well. So Osgood 5. I don't know what you're talking about. And I tried to explain about the Brigadier and that, but if listeners are wondering what we're talking about, the Brigadier's most famous line was "Osgood, man with wings there." Sorry, chap with wings there. 5 rounds rapid, and Kate says that great line. Not the chap with wings there bit, but the 5 rounds rapid. And of course, Osgood, another character called Osgood, is it in the scene?
Well, it's
that's why Osgood was called Osgood.
It's been established that's Osgood's father.
Has it? When was that established?
During Day of the Doctor.
Was it? Oh, good. Okay, thank you for that.
I think was it Day of the Doctor? No, was Osgood in an earlier?
Yeah,
story?
Osgood was originally in. Was it The Power of Three?
Okay.
Was it?
That was wherever it was. They established that.
She might not have been in that one, but I think she was. We'll have to look back on it.
And Kate does fire her gun 5 times, too.
Yes. But, yeah.
I hope you counted.
I know. Then everybody arrives in the thing, because obviously there's 2 boxes, because they were twins, so there was 2 Osgood boxes, one colour, one with the other. Clara is released from the pod and then held captive by a couple of Zygon hoodies, and Bonnie
they just noticed Kate meets the doctor down where the pod came from, not in the shop.
Oh, does she?
Yeah,
I thought it was in the shop. I do apologize.
Nope.
Okay, anyway, they were
looking for Clara's pod. Yes. And Kate showed up down there. And then they go to the Black Archive. And the Black Archive seems looks like they've removed a lot of stuff. We do get a helmet from the Mire. Very prominent.
Yes.
In the back of the one
scene. It is very prominent, yeah. That's what made
and
me think
a,
of
there's a
shoulder.
Cyberman helmet to one side, but nothing else that can really be identified much.
That made me think of there was some link, the fact that a shoulder might be somewhere in the next few episodes, probably the last 2 or last 1.
And you can see the bulletin board that's got all the companions on it. Adric is very prominent in
the
one
what, sorry?
Shot.
The what board?
The bulletin board.
Oh, I haven't seen that. But hang on, I'm just moving past the bit where, what's her name? Kate shot the Zygons with 5 rounds rapid. And they sort of do zoom in on the truth consequence buttons on both of the boxes.
Now, did you notice last night I found a clip on YouTube
the board now.
From the original, well, from one of the versions of Truth or Consequences, the game show. In this case, it had Bob Barker as the host when he wasn't the normal host. The normal host for a long time was Ralph Edwards.
Right.
But in this particular scene, has a real good section of where they were using a box as a prop as part of one of the games. because True of the Consequences was always doing things like that. In this case, he had to pull open drawers, and there was all of $80 as prize money.
Ah, okay. But, so you're right. There is a notice board in the background that has Adric, and among others, you've got I can see Perry there. I can see Tegan. A little bit out of focus, but you can. Those are, oh, there might be Sarah Jane there. I can't see, but you can clearly see Perry and Tegan. Yes,
I strongly suspect it's the same. The same notice board. It's a bulletin board.
It's
over
a notice
here,
board, actually.
as they had in the 50th anniversary, they probably just wheeled it over from the from next door in the museum.
Okay.
But I'm, so, like I said, I'm surprised that they didn't bring more things over, because it does seem kind of sparse compared to all the little details.
It's just me. One might be one little corner of the or the Black Archive.
From the 50th anniversary, there were so many really neat things. If you go back and watch those scenes.
Okay, well, yeah, I do intend to do so, and we will do, obviously, somewhere along the line. But yeah, this scene culminates, or is, an amazing scene by Peter Capaldi. One of the best, if
not
the best.
If does not get a BAFTA for this, I don't know.
If it's not the best scene of an actor playing the Doctor in the new era,
absolutely
very, very difficult for me to try and think of another one. There are a couple of, you know, memorable scenes, but his anger and what it reminded me of a little bit, the way it stands out, it's there was a scene in one of my favourite Doctor Who stories, if not my favourite, which is A Pirate Planet, in which Tom Baker's Doctor had a go at the Captain about why they were, you know, just wiping out planets just for the sheer sake, for getting the rock, forget the, you know, the people that were dying in the process. The power.
Yeah, when they're going down the hallway that's got all the shrunken planets in it. Yeah. Yes.
The power of Tom Baker in that scene, because you know he plays it quite lightheartedly, and then suddenly he's really serious. And that's what Capaldi's performance in that scene reminded me of.
Exactly.
Now, it is enhanced, I have to say, by the brilliance of Jenna Coleman playing Bonnie.
Yes.
You know, she's totally believable as Bonnie. She's not Clara, she's Bonnie, and it's lovely to I know it's coming towards the end of her time in the series to be able to sort of showcase her skills as an actor. So you got in this scene some amazing actors, and obviously Capaldi is quite rightly the star of the show. Absolutely amazing. It's so memorable, so watchable, and everybody who watched that would have been drawn in to that situation, and it's certainly one of the highlights, if not the highlight, of the new era of Doctor Who, if not of all time. Amazing.
Absolutely. I don't know if you've noticed. I can't, because my internet's so slow, I can't bring up any of the examples. But this scene has broken out from just us Doctor Who fans and is being passed around to non-fans as watch this. This is one of the best things you will ever see.
But it's also not just the acting by Capaldi, the writing, the words within that scene. Just astounding. It's brilliant. And I can't tell Doctor Who fans, you know, people who aren't Doctor Who fans to watch it, because people listening to this show are all Doctor Who fans. But urge people that aren't Doctor Who fans just to watch this scene. It's worth watching as an incredible piece of drama. So, yeah, so we're very, very much treated to that particular scene. And, you know, bearing in mind it relates to the scene from The Day of the Doctor, where the Doctors, you know, stop the Zygons. And the only way you can do that is by wiping their minds and making them not know who were Zygons and who weren't, although the Osgoods did know, but they like to keep it a secret. So, yeah, it was a long scene. But
10 minutes.
But the Doctor used his powers of persuasion to help Bonnie see the light. Absolutely amazing. Loved it. And eventually the same thing happened. That thing in the ceiling was made to fire, and basically it was a reset button, but it was the best reset button ever.
Yes. And how many times since, I'm glad that we're not having a quiz today, because I don't remember. How many times did the Doctor say, Oops, my alarm's going off. Hang on.
How many times did he say, oops, my alarm's going off? I don't know.
Did he say that they had done this already?
I don't know.
It was like 7 times?
I don't know. Like I say, I've only watched it once, but obviously I was quite enthralled in it that I remembered it quite well. So then we have another, obviously everything's reset and everything, you know, Bonnie is good now.
15 times.
Sends away all the Zygon baddies, or stops them from arriving at least. And the Doctor asks Osgood to join him on the TARDIS.
Back in the previous scene at the very end after the wiping of the mines.
Yeah.
Kate says, this is all very well, but we know the boxes are empty now. We can't forget that. And the Doctor says, no, well, you've said that the last 15 times.
Oh.
So they've gone through that whole thing.
Oh, right, okay.
15 times.
Okay. I didn't notice that, but well done. So, like I said, Osgood says no. Osgood says no to joining the Doctor, which is a bit of a shame, really, because I think everybody agrees that she'd make a good companion.
Not necessarily.
What do you mean, not necessarily?
I mean, I think I love the character, but again, the best companions are not necessarily companions who are as equal in intellect as the Doctor.
Okay. But she's not, though, is she? She's just Osgood. I don't think she's equal in intellect. She's just a great character.
Okay, not
and they, her and the Doctor have a they have a rapport, don't they? Her and the Doctor.
Yeah.
But anyway, so and then we have the sort of oh my god moment when the other Osgood walks around the side of the TARDIS and
that
joins.
Was the one thing I wasn't quite. It wasn't. It didn't quite make enough sense that Zygella, I mean Bonnie, would come around that quickly.
I think it's acceptable that, you know, we now have two Osgoods again, and it sort of fulfills the reset beautifully, and also sets up future events and maybe a future killing of a future
and possibly Osgood will become a companion later.
You never know, or one of them at least.
She needs to at least travel in the TARDIS.
She does.
She hasn't yet.
No, she hasn't. So, yeah, that was essentially it. So, here's what I think of this story. Now, I'm going to tell you the story. Obviously, we've done the last week's episode, which I absolutely loved. Now, combined together as a story and individually as an episode, this is absolutely outstanding. Brilliant. I can't talk about the superlatives enough because, did I pick up a couple of minor things? Doesn't matter. It was brilliant. Great. Fantastic, wonderful, makes me proud to be a Doctor Who fan. Brilliant stuff. I'm sort of quite emotional because it was that good. What do you think, Kirby?
One of the best, if not the best, story of the modern era.
Yeah.
Just fantastic. Day of the Doctor is still my favorite. But,
Day of the Doctor is great, but as a two-part story, this is probably the best.
This was just marvelous. Doctor Who at its best. And this series, when are we going to have a bad story?
Well, I hope it's not the last one. That would be a bit of a shame.
I know. I was so disappointed last year because the last story was the worst one. But so far, we've been hitting with every single story. Some of them are lesser than others, but everything has been above last year so much.
Mm.
And this has been the best one so far.
Yeah. Well, when we review the whole series, it'll be interesting to see how we rate the stories in order.
Yes.
We'll have to have a go at that just for fun. But, yeah, we've been treated to something special these last two episodes. You know, as a series mainly, but these two, it's just awesome.
In some ways, I do get a bit embarrassed if I were to show this to a non-Doctor Who fan because Zygons look so silly. That's about it.
I don't think they look that silly. I think they, obviously, they're men in costumes, but the men in costumes that
It's a really brilliant, brilliant design.
Yeah.
Zygon, I'm sure I've said this before, but I first saw a picture of a Zygon before I ever watched the show back in 1979. I probably saw the picture in 78, and that story was broadcast when, 76? Something like that?
Yeah.
I saw a picture of a Zygon, and I went, what? What is this stupid-looking thing?
Oh, that's a bit of a shame that you thought it was stupid.
and then within a few months, I'd seen Terror of the Zygons and thought it was absolutely fantastic.
So you changed your mind.
Absolutely. Particularly when I saw Terror of the Zygons. And then the strange thing about Terror of the Zygons is that I saw it once, probably in 79 or 80, and then didn't see it again until I got the DVD just a few years ago.
Brilliant. Right, so I suppose we can move on to some feedback. What there is of it, which isn't
Don't expect me to read anything out because my podcast
is you're talking over poor old Patrick. Sorry, Patrick, that was Kirby. Here we go.
Hello to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. This is Patrick from North Hollywood with my feedback for the episode, The Zygon Inversion. Well, you know, I didn't really know how they were going to wrap up this two-parter, and I couldn't have been more pleasantly surprised and couldn't have enjoyed it more. I thought it was fantastic. Just the last 10 minutes of the episode alone was worth wading through all the plot twists and the back and forth. So many clever things with Clara controlling the Zygon with her mind from inside the pod to just so many things in the episode I really liked. Yeah, I can't really say much about it other than I super enjoyed it. I loved how it resolved. I didn't see the the head Zygon turning into the second Osgood character. Yeah, that was pretty clever, and it makes total sense. It fits right into what should happen, because, you know, if you think about it, since that character couldn't keep Clara's pattern and it wasn't going to stay in its Zygon form, so it makes sense that it would become the second Osgood to carry on the pact and keep the peace. So that's great. And, you know, at the end, I don't know if you guys noticed at the very end, the last scene with Clara and the Doctor in the TARDIS, just the way that that conversation went was, it struck me as a little bit melancholy, a little bit slightly foreboding. I just get like, I know you guys have mentioned it even as recently as last week, how you can kind of see through the season little hints that the Clara's time with the Doctor is coming to an end. You know, no one really knows how that's going to happen. But it's definitely, I can just tell just by the tone of certain things and how their interaction is, it's more closer than they've been before. Like they're more and more, they've bonded more and more as the episodes go by. But also, you can also tell that there's just a little bit something foreboding also in the subtext of that. Anyway, so that's my two cents. Fantastic episode. Next episode looks fantastic, too. I love space station episodes. It reminds me of Ark in Space. I don't know. I just get an Ark in Space feel of that, so that if it comes anywhere close to that, it'll be fantastic. Anyway, so hope you guys have a great week.
Thank you, Pastor.
Master?
Yes?
There are fan theories out there that the Doctor already knows what is going to happen to Clara,
yeah,
and he has kind of doubled back in time.
Yeah, I think he does. I think he does. He just doesn't know when. He keeps on trying to save her and save her, doesn't he? And he knows it's happening. He knows it's coming up, but he doesn't know when and how to stop it. And he probably can't. Well, obviously can't because Clara's leaving, and the fact that River Song is in, you know, that probably the next episode, he's probably going to go back into his shell like he did when Amy left. And he probably needs, because you don't want him to be moping for too long. He probably needs his wife to sort of bring him back, doesn't he? But then again, he's probably going to have a very sad time with her, maybe. I don't know, but we'll see at the Christmas special. Hopefully not too sad, because it is a Christmas special. We don't want to think of something too miserable at Christmas.
Yeah, I can't think of any Christmas specials which are downers. I mean, I can think of a Christmas special that was horrible, but it wasn't the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe one, but it was downer.
Yeah. So, another bit of feedback. This is from Ian Kirk, but unfortunately, where, like I said earlier on in the show, I'm using my other Mac. I haven't got his jingle on this particular clip, so I do apologize.
No. Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. Jokes about other episodes. The Doctor and Lady Me climbed up a chimney in The Woman Who Lived. That reminds me of the film Mary Poppins, but I don't want to make a song and dance about it. In the case of Androzani, perfect robot replicas of the Fifth Doctor and Perry were machine-gunned. If Robot Perry can be repaired, well, I would not mind it as a Christmas present. The Zygon Inversion by Peter Harness and Stephen Moffat. David Tennant had to pretend to be English when he was the Tenth Doctor. What's good enough for him should be good enough for the Zygons. The first part I'd seen set in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. Perhaps some other place in New Mexico asked the BBC to attract some of the geeks away from their town. I'm looking at you, Roswell. A minority of Zygons did not want to be British. They wanted to take over the world instead. How is that not British? We only gave it up recently. There was no axe in the story, unlike the previous ones. Nigella Lawson presents TV cooking shows in the UK, and you might think she looks like Clara, if you were from Gallifrey and you were wearing sunglasses. So calling Zygon Clara Zygella is a reference to her. The way to tell the difference is to ask her to make you a sandwich. If she makes avocado on toast, then it is Nigella. In the room with the two wooden boxes, the Doctor at one point says, "I mean that most sincerely." This was the catchphrase of Huey Green,
yes,
a TV game show host in the 1960s. There was a quiz show at the time involving 11 wooden boxes, but that was presented by someone else, not Green. When a contestant answered the questions correctly, they won the prize named on a piece of paper inside one of the boxes. The presenter would try to persuade them not to open the box by offering them money instead. There is a bit of a parallel with the Doctor trying to persuade the two women from using the boxes. After 15 previous attempts, they solved the crisis. Didn't they do well? It's good night from Osgood, and it's good night from Osgood.
Class music.
Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Ian.
Right, there is a bit more, but it's not audio. I'm pretty sure Jeff Waddle posted something somewhere. I'm just going to see if I can find it. I thought he sent me a message, but he must have posted it on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Facebook group that which you can join.
I can't get to that page, so I can't.
Don't worry, I can. I just need to find it. Oh, here we are. He posted on the 8th of November, "I think I may have found out how to do audio feedback."
Oh, that's right.
But he hasn't done it. Okay, this is what he said. I've got time because we've got Armistice in about a minute's time. This is what he said. "By far and away the best performance of a Doctor or the Doctor I have seen in my life. And although I didn't see the black and white era, I've seen them on DVD. Wow, if Capaldi doesn't get an award for that, I give up. An absolute masterclass in acting." So that's Jeff Waddle. Kirby, are you all right? Get back on your seat.
Yes.
Yeah, and Debbie Melrose said, "Amazing, astounding performance." Kirby Bartlett-Sloan said, "So, was it good?" Jeff Waddle said, "Best story since Talons for me." Well, that's some sort of compliment. Yes.
Master, that was before I'd had a chance to see it.
Obviously.
that was within a few minutes of it being broadcast
about
there.
15 seconds to the armistice, just for enough time for me to say, from Billy Kirkbright, "That was half decent. Next week's looks like another Lazarus experiment at a first glance for the trailer." But anyway, it's now time for us to break off for 2 minutes as it's a 2 minute silence for the armistice.
This is Sylvester Mackay, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yes, I think that's the end of the 2 minutes on it.
Yes.
And the dog seemed to bark at right, exactly the right moment.
Now, what's that sound coming from? Do you have something?
Yeah, I turned the TV up to know when the 2 minutes on us was at an end.
Ah.
Yeah. Also, that bloke with his horn.
Why do they do it at 11 instead of at 11:11?
I don't know.
Should be at 11:11.
I don't disagree with that, but I suppose it's an easier time for people to, you know, to think. I don't know. I really, possibly. I wish I could have come
and answered that. Hadn't thought of that, huh?
No. Maybe it's wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Anyway, okay.
So that really, rather sadly, conclude. Well, bear in mind that the standard of that episode to only get two bits of proper feedback, it's quite disappointing. Especially where we didn't get anything from certain people like Mary, Matthew.
Well, perhaps they'll send something later.
Debbie, I'm bearing in mind we're recording this on a Wednesday, which is 3 days after we normally record it. They've had plenty of time. I know Debbie's been busy at work, but she could have recorded it at home. Well, I'll be having words with her in 2 days' time. But yes, I suppose, well, there's no quiz this week, so all we can do now is move on to a bit of news. What do you think, Kirby?
Well, it'll have to be from you because I can't bring up any web pages.
It'll have to be from me then. Oh, and I've got, when I typed in DoctorWhoNews.net, it says 404 error.
Uh-oh.
It's a bit of a worry, isn't it? Oh, Doctor Who News is up online. Right, where did we get to last week? We've got the Zygon inversion press reaction. Hope they liked it. Let's have a look. Actually, overnight. Oh, we got even further back. I'm going to go back up further. Apparently the Magician's Apprentice and Witch's Familiar scripts are available online. The first two scripts of the current series of Doctor Who have been made available online courtesy of the BBC Writers' Room. Interested in that, Kirby?
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay.
I'd like to look at them, but I can't bring up Doctor Who News.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll post a link.
Post a link.
To the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, which you can join. And the link is posted now. Downtime. Also, that's the 6th of November, are we now? So that's within the last week. Stephen Moffat addresses rumours of short series 10. He's responded to tabloid rumours stating that the next year's series of Doctor Who would be cut down to allow Peter Capaldi to pursue other projects. He said, basically, to shorten this story, he said it's a load of tosh. But what we also know is Doctor Who fans that Moffat lies. And also, on the subject of this series...
I believe him that it's going to be a full series, but I also think that it's going to... I think it's going to start with the Christmas special. So okay. We're going to be almost full year.
That's not good, is it?
No.
No. But we'll see what happens with it. We don't know that for sure yet. But that will almost take us back around to its original running time, if they do that. Because it used to start at the end of March, beginning of April. So they're pushing it back around again. Eventually we're going to get it back to that particular time of year.
Well, just as long as we don't have a year of only specials again.
No, we don't want that. Yeah, so basically he says it's a load of tosh. So we'll see what happens to that one. And there was a bit about downtime. Downtime is a unique British 1995 sci-fi movie from the Doctor Who universe, but unofficial. I think I had some of these on video once.
I've got a copy of Downtime. I've never watched it.
Featuring treasured characters and talent from the franchise and only now released on DVD. It's a must for all fans of the Time Lord. So it says, we follow the Brigadier, Nicholas Courtney, Sarah Jane Smith, Elizabeth Sladen, Sarah Jane Adventures, of Doctor Who and Sarah Jane Adventures, it says in brackets. Victoria Waterfield and Professor Travers. So I can't remember it very well. I remember seeing one of these fan-run projects in which Colin Baker played a weather man, but that had the Peter Davison, John Pertwee, and who was the other? I think it was Sylvester McCoy in it as well. Such a shame that they couldn't make unofficial Doctor Who, you know, in those days, because I'm sure they would have done a really good job. So Zygon inversion overnight viewing figures, 4.13 million. We know it's going to go up.
Yes.
Yeah. So don't worry too much, especially as a fact we've been told we're having Doctor Who for at least the next 5 years. Press reaction. The Guardian felt the episode finally cemented Capaldi as the Doctor, quite rightly so. I think most of it's pretty good. Radio Times thought the bunker scenes between the Doctor and the two protagonists were spectacular. That's a good word for it. Telegraph thought the episode was overcomplicated. Right, I'm never going to read the Telegraph again. Well, don't they think the British public have brains? Goodness sake. That's about it, really. I'm trying to find a negative thing. I don't really want to, so I'm not going to look. So, well, the fact that Jeff Waddle liked it, it must have been good.
Yes.
Yes. Australian overnight ratings for the Zygon inversion and final ratings of The Woman Who Lived were... Well, The Woman Who Lived was 647,000, which is 151,000 extra viewers than they normally had. Moving on, the AI for Zygon inversion was 84. I believe the last one we spoke about was 81, so that's quite a large jump, really. Again, I don't understand what the significance of the appreciation index is. The Zygon invasion official rating, 5.76 million viewers, so about average, really. What else have we got? They've got Sleep No More, official trailer, Doctor Who Series 9, Episode 9. So there is a trailer available.
What did you think of the trailer?
I haven't seen it yet. I'll watch it now.
It was at the end of the episode.
Oh, was it? Oh, then... all right, what I thought of the trailer. not majorly impressed, but it's only a trailer, isn't it? I reserve... opinion
now,
on the actual episode itself.
This is the story which is supposedly all found footage.
What do you mean?
It's supposed to be... It's what we're seeing is supposed to be like video from either phones or security cameras or things like that instead of the idea that we're just seeing things as if we're experiencing them as a play.
Okay. Well, Deb said that she recognised the face of the chap with the glasses as a well-known actor from somewhere.
He is, but my internet, I can't browse any place, so Reece, I can't look him up.
Reece Shearsmith?
Huh?
Is it Reece Shearsmith? I don't know. I don't recognise the name or the actor, so I couldn't
tell. I'm sure someone is screaming at their iPods right now.
Probably.
As they listen to this.
Yeah, well, we'll find out next week, won't we? He does remind me in that the way he looks at as the lead singer of the Buggles.
Yes.
But that's essentially Doctor Who
Video
news.
Kill the radio star. Okay.
Now, we're going to talk about next week, because coming to the end of this show. Debbie and I, with Debbie and Isabella, will be starting. It says 9 o'clock, the place opens, so we'll probably be standing around for half an hour. And then we have a photo in the
Where
iconic...
Where is this being held?
At the XL in London. We have a photo in the iconic
it's
set.
It's being held at a spreadsheet, okay?
Shut up. iconic set photo, which is apparently in Clara's bedroom. I hope Clara's in bed at the time, because she is going to be there. That's what annoyed me, actually. I must mention this. Jenna Coleman is actually going to be at the festival. We were, customers, were supposed to get an email in advance of these people's photo opportunities becoming available. And I have done with all the others, hence, we've got them with various people. But this occasion, a friend of the show, Rick Stevens, friend of the show, he posted a comment on the Facebook page for the festival that... opportunities for Jenna had become available, and I didn't actually pay any attention to that because I was expecting an email. I only looked at it afterwards, and by then it was too late. They'd all sold out. Not major disaster, because obviously we had our picture taken with her a couple of years ago, but it still would have been nice to sort of add that to the day's events. So I was slightly annoyed about that, and we did actually get an email 2 days after they'd all sold out, saying opportunities are now available. Well, they weren't. They'd all sold out. So thanks very much, arrangers and organisers of the Doctor Who Festival, for that complete balls up. Anyway, back to my itinerary for the day. 10 o'clock, we're going to meet Denny Hargreaves for a photo. He apparently is the boss of all the special effects on Doctor Who.
Okay.
Pardon?
I said okay.
10:30, we're going to be exploring the festival hall and hopefully meeting Toby Haydoke. That's not finalised yet, but Toby, he's going to be very busy. Apparently, he's interviewing all the, he's the official like compere of the event, so he's going to be interviewing all the guests on stage somewhere along the line. So he's going to be quite busy. But he did say he'd have a couple of gaps in his schedule that he may still be able to meet us. So hopefully so. 11:15, we're going to the Meet the Writers show. So that's writers of the current series being interviewed. 12 o'clock, we're going to have lunch and explore the festival hall. And hopefully, if we haven't met Toby Haydock in the previous session, meet him on that particular session. 1:15, meeting Michelle Gomez for a photo. 2 o'clock, meeting Peter Capaldi for a couple of photos. Wow. 3 o'clock, meeting Nick Briggs for a photo. And Mark Gatiss, if we can get the Nick Briggs picture done you know, quick enough. 3:20, the science fiction show. Science fiction special effects show. What are you on about? Science fiction show. 4:15 MFX. I don't know what that is, but it's a Mark Gatiss is involved in it. I think he's going to be interviewed. I don't know what MFX is. We'll find out at the time. 5 o'clock, the optional Big Finish show, or Explore Festival Hall. It's up to what the girls want to do on that particular one. And then it finishes at 6 o'clock. So that's my day at the Doctor Who Festival.
Now, who all is going with you?
Debbie Melrose, Debbie Pearson, Isabella Pearson.
No Alicia.
No.
She doesn't care.
She won't
for the
come
show.
Along, for goodness sake. She's in the right mood. She's ultra grumpy because she's no longer with her boyfriend.
Oh, no.
Mm. Anyway, there's one thing I must do before I go, apart from we've got to talk about sponsors somewhere along the line, is mention new members of the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, as I keep saying. And I can't remember where I got up to last time. Well, I can, so you're right. I can't remember if I mentioned the last four, so I'll mention them again now. That's somebody from Japan, obviously. No, it's Matthew Campbell, who was added by Simon Fisherbecker because he's Simon Fisherbecker's PA.
Yes.
Robert McIntyre. Darren, pardon?
I met Robert. I thought I discussed that last time.
You may well have done.
I met Robert at Timegate, the local Atlanta Doctor Who convention. He's from England, but he came over here just to go to Timegate.
Well, okay. Yeah, Wakefield specifically. Yeah. And Darren Bileu. And finally today, Laura Taylor. Welcome one and all to the 20 megabyte
yes,
Doctor Who
welcome.
Podcast family or Facebook group if you want to be a bit more open-minded on it. Right, so leaves us with a bit of sponsorship. I'm hoping Who Won have got something
new. Is
that
whowon.co.uk?
Yeah, that's who I was talking about. TARDIS bowl, £5.99. It's a little bowl you can eat your cereal out of in the guise of a TARDIS. Doctor Who magazine special Davros and other villains. Jago and Lightfoot 10. Doctor Who magazine 492. So they haven't got the Christmas one out yet. There is a Doctor Who annual available, and that's available in other places. But if you want to buy it from Who One, that'll do us some favours. Coming soon, the 12th Doctor's Sonic Screwdriver. But he hasn't got one anymore. So what happened to the Sonic sunglasses?
It will be coming back.
You reckon?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's not Doctor Who without a sonic screwdriver.
You reckon?
Yes.
It's not always been there, you know.
I know.
I'd love to. Well, if you're right, it'll be amazing, unless you've read spoilers, an amazing guess. Lavazzi.
Well, I believe both Capaldi and the Grand Moff have said that it's coming back.
Oh, good. Right. Lavazzi.co.uk. Where you can buy Doctor Who goodies, such as a Dalek scarf, the Series 18 scarf, which is on sale. I really do need to buy that. The classic Tom Baker 18-foot scarf from Series 16 and 17.
I wish I could have
the tie.
I wish I could afford that.
The short version of the scarf.
Afford that.
Yeah. The Fifth Doctor jumper.
I wish I could afford that.
The Seventh Doctor jumper.
I wish I could afford that.
Various umbrellas, apart from the question mark one, which I have.
I wish I could afford any of them.
That's sold out. The brand new Pandorica Opens TARDIS exploding scarf.
I wish I could afford that.
Standard TARDIS scarf and the Seventh Doctor's Paisley scarf. Goodies galore at lavazzi.co.uk. Our very proud sponsors. So, right, so next time, like I say, we will be at the festival. Whether we record a one-off episode or not, I'm not sure yet. You just have to stay tuned in. There's two possibilities. One, we'll do one, or we'll just add it to the next standard episode of the 20 Megabyte Podcast, which is recording next Monday. The reason why we can't record on Sunday, Kirby, because I won't have watched the episode by the time we come to... Oh, you understand that?
Yes.
Okay, that's all right then. That's unusual. And hopefully we'll have some people back that couldn't be bothered to be on this week. It's always been me and you who've been committed solidly to this show.
Yes.
So,
since I started, I believe I've missed, what, 3 episodes?
Quite possibly. And I haven't got around to starting to compile the special 300th episode, which hopefully will, 301st episode, which hopefully will be a similar one to our 200th, 201st. The one that had all the montages of sound clips from previous episodes. I need to add 100 of them to it, revamp it. But
yes.
I haven't done it yet. I'm wondering whether I'm actually going to have time to do it at all. I hope so.
Of course you will.
You reckon?
Yes.
Okay, if you say so. So, yeah, that is it for this week. Sorry, there's
very
no
short
quiz.
Show.
But I say the quiz questions, hopefully I'll get around to putting together for a future quiz, maybe, you know, making an extra long one for next time. Next time we're all together anyway. But I'm really excited. I tell you, I've not been this excited about an event for a long, long time, even perhaps the Doctor Who celebration. So excited about the weekend. Yeah, so, you know, I've got a day off work exactly.
I need to check my lottery ticket
on Friday.
If I won, then I could come over.
And they're sold out. They're not sold out on the Friday and the Sunday, but they're sold out on the Saturday. Really, really looking forward to it. So we go up in the afternoon, drive up. So we stay a night at a hotel, a Travelodge on the M25, and then it's about a 9-mile drive from there into the where the XL is in the morning. And then we drive all the way back in the evening, hopefully back on the island about 11:30. And just as well I've got the next day off work, so I need to... Oh no, I'm going to work the next day, that's why we're driving back.
Yeah, you said that.
I'm going to have a very late night and a very early morning and then 10 hours at work. So, yeah, it's going to be a killer, but it's going to be worth it.
Yes.
Yes. So until...
So jealous.
Pardon?
I'm so jealous.
Yes. Until next... Hopefully I'll do some video this time as well. I didn't do much video last time, if any. I was so sort of overawed by the whole situation. Hopefully we'll meet some more Doctor Who fan celebrities like we did last time with Lizzo and the... I can't remember his surname now. Lizzo, the news bloke, and, of course, John Coleshaw. I was lucky enough to bump into. So fingers crossed. We can have some, apparently, selfies is what some people call them, but what Alicia calls them, apparently, are photos with some of these stars. So, anyway, until next week, thank you for listening to the show. Goodbye!
Goodbye, fancy pants.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APB Services production and a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.